They were starting here on the top of Yudam and Aleph, about 11 lines down. By Rami Bar Chama, Magdisho se tmura o mitkapero se tmura. Who has the right in order to create tmura over here? Is the one who is Magdish the animal the one who has that right? Or is it the one who is mitkaper ayidei the animal that has that right? Samarova, I can tell you what the answer is. Imkein matzinu tzibur v'shutofim osim tmura. Over here, if you believe that it's the Magdish that can create the tmura, then I have a possibility of a tzibur and shutafim creating tmura. And we know later on in the perek that the Mishnah tells us that tzibur and shutafim cannot create tmura. So obviously from that, it means that it is the mitchaper and not the Magdish. And that is kagon, the shov shliach dakdushe, that if a tzibur or shutafim appoint a single individual to be their emissary, proxy, and mi Magdish the animal, and if the Magdish is the one who can create tmura, their proxy, who's a single individual, then can go ahead and create tmura. We know that's not true. Tosafot says you can't say that about kapara. You can't have it that the tzibur bought a korban, or took the money to the tzibur and bought a korban to give to a yachid to use for their kapara. And then you could say the same thing over there, that you have a single individual mekabel kapara, but it's a korban tzibur, because then it no longer is a korban tzibur. Once you're making the kapara for an individual, that makes it into a korban yachid and not a korban tzibur. So over here, that would be a determining factor, or a proof to the fact that the one who can make the tmura is the mitkaper. Ve'od. In addition to that, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Huna, Tano. It says by the Nazir, Zot Torat HaNazir, Asher Yidor Karbanol Hashem Al Nizro, Milvad, Asher Tasig Yado Kefi Nizro, Asher Yidor, Ken Yasel Torat Nizro. So now the Pasuk, when it says Karbanol Hashem Al Nizro, Milvad, except for Asher Tasig Yado. Now Tasig Yado, Haseg Yad, is a very loaded term in the Torah. That means that it's something that it deals with the economic ability and means of the individual to pay for a korban. For instance, a korban ulo evi yoreid. Something that changes based on the economic ability of the person to pay. But over here, by the korban of the nazir, we never find such an ulo evi yoreid. There's only one set of korbanot for the nazir. Ki nazir nidon behezek yad. He doesn't have that principle of the economic ability to determine which korban he brings. Haketzat. So how do I explain that it's korbanot? His korban is Lashem. And then asher tasig yado, and his economic ability to pay. So ketzat, korbanot Lashem al nizro. So that first part of the pasuk is talking about shifrish mishelo. That's when he took and separated out a korban for himself. Milvad asher tasig yado, when he doesn't have the ability to pay. Shifrish lo acherim, that others gave him the korban to use for his nizirut. He didn't pay for it, someone else paid for it, but they gave it to him to use for the kapara. So he is the mitkaper, someone else is the magdish, or someone else is the owner over here. The mahilchata. Why would you compare the two? Why does the pasuk have to tell us both about a korban that he brings himself, as well as a korban that was donated by someone else to him? Elaine Malayun Yan Kapara to come to tell you it works, and you can have kapara through someone else's donation of a korban to you. Pshita, what's the question here with the Mechaperle? Why would you have any questions? Like a matana. He gave him a gift, and he can use it. It becomes like yours. Why shouldn't you be able to use it? Ella the Indian Tmurat. Must be it's talking about Tmura. And now we have a hekesh between his korban and the korban of someone else, which is Vachikamar Afkeshi Frisho Lo Acherim. Just like when he's Mafrish, the korban, he has the right to create Tmura. So too, when others are mafrish to korban on his behalf, he has the right to create tmura here. Well, that right comes because he's the mitkaper, osir tmura, and so he can make tmura, shva mina, but the mitkaper azlina. From that, you see that we go after the mitkaper, because of this hekesh here that says his korban and someone else's korban, that are both for him, are all determined by him in terms of tmura. That means that the mitkaper is the determining factor here. It says, well, you don't have to learn it that way. The hekesh could be for something else. Leinyan kapara. Go back, it's for kapara. Ah, you said before, the kakashalach matona, the if they're giving him a gift, why shouldn't he be able to use it and be mitkaper? Why would you have any havamin otherwise? It says, Ilav de Rabbi Rachmana, without this riboy from the posuk, milvad asher tasig yado havamin, I would have thought gzerat hakatuvu. Is gzerat hakatuv, karbano midideu. Hu de mechaber mechirim lo kamash malon, that's not the case. Posuk begins, asher yador karbano lashem. Karbano sounds like it must be his korban, and only his korban. So I need another part of the posuk to teach me that even if someone else gives him the korban, it still works. And that's what the Chiddush is over here. Nothing to do with Tmura, all having to do with Kapara. So my Havyalo, what's the din here in terms of Makdish versus the Mitkaper? Tashma. So this is something we quoted in the beginning of the Masechta on the first daf, towards the bottom of Bet Amud Bet, Amar Rabbi Bo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Makdish Mosif Chomesh. The one who's Makdish is the determining factor in terms of adding on the fifth, in terms of Balim. Balim add on an additional fifth when they redeem it. You are qualified as the Baal, or the owner of this animal, if you are the one who's Magdish. Mitkaper ose Tmura. In terms of Tmura, that's determined by the one who is Mitkaper. Tosafot said earlier that it's not just the Mitkaper, it's the owner, and then Af Mitkaper. Also the Mitkaper has that right. Not the Mitkaper exclusively, without the owner. The owner also has that right still. Vitorei mishelo ashel cherim, explained this back on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, that if he takes off Truma on behalf of someone else has Tevel, he has Tevel, he says, listen, I'm going to take off Trumot and I'll take care of your Tevel as well. That works. As long as the other person acquiesces, that's fine. The Truma that he has in his hand now is his, and it's his right to give it to whomever he wants. Whichever Kohen he wants, he retains that right since he was the one who severed out the Truma. Tovatana, Tana Shalot, Tovatana means the value, the privilege of giving away this Truma to whomever you want is given over to the individual who's Toreim, Shinemar, because the Pasuk says, my time, Gamakra, Komasar, Tuatcha, Venatata. Whoever is the one who takes off the Maser, Venatata, they have the right to give. So the right to give is determined by the one who is Mafrish, the Trumot, Masrot. That Mafrish gets the Hana of giving it to whomever he wants. Again, that could have some sort of monetary value. If someone pays him, for instance, a grandfather, an uncle, pays him to give it to a Kohen, he could accept small remuneration for such an item, which is called a Tovat Hana. And that's the right that's given to him because he was the one who's mavrish the trumot to masro. Mishnah says, "Ein mimirim lo evarim beubarim v'lo ubarim beevarim." One cannot create tmura if you have an aver, a limb that is kadosh, and you try to transfer that kedusha onto an ubar, onto a fetus, and not the other way around. If you have a fetus that is kadosh, you can't transfer that kedusha onto an aver, onto a single limb. V'lo ubarim beevarim, neither of those can you do bishlemim. Can you exchange them onto a shalem, meaning onto an entire animal? You can't take either a fetus or a single limb that is kadosh and try through tmura to pass that kedusha onto a shalem, onto an entire animal. V'lo shlemim, bam, and the other way around too. You can't take a shalem and have that kedusha be passed onto either of these items. B'yosi omer, memirim evarim bishlemim. That's not true. You can have evarim receive kedusha from shlemim. Avalo shlemim behem. But shlemim can't pass their kedusha into an aver. And Rabbi Yossi's proof is from the beginning of Hekdesh. I'm Rabbi Yossi, although b'mukdashim, when we talk about Hekdesh, Omer ragla shel zu ola, you say the leg of this animal is an ola, kula ola, it spreads to the entire animal. So afshi omer ragla shel zu tachat zu, if you say the limb or the leg of this animal replaces this entire animal, take la tmura tachta, then it'll spread the entire animal and it'll be tmura in place of the original animal. But we know the din is vayahu tmura to yekodesh, and now it'll become full pledged tmura the second animal, and you can be makrib and ala mizbeach. So why can't you have the shlemim pass the kedusha to the aver? Now the other way around it cannot work. You can't have an aver have enough kedusha to pass it onto a shlemim, because that is not a strong enough kedusha to pass onto a shlemim. Now Yitmar, we're gonna have a machloket here that's gonna carry us through the remainder of today's daf and then into tomorrow's daf, which is the status of an ubar with regards to being magdishit. Parpada amar, ein kedusha chala ala ubarim. Kedusha cannot be chal on an ubar. An ubar, independently, you cannot do a number of things, as Rashi points out. Number one is, if you magdish the ubar in the mother's womb, it will have no effectiveness. And that means, if it's born afterwards, and then you take it and bring it as a korban, you're bringing chulin li'azara. You have to be magdish it separately. That's one impact. Second impact is, if you are mafrish, a chatat that is pregnant, a behema that is pregnant for a chatat, and you magdisha the chatat, the mother itself will be used for the Koran chatat, the baby will be called a vlad chatat, and the lachan, the moshe mitzinai, but a vlad chatat is that it's the mitah. And in any other korban, will be classified as a vlad kodeshim, and that is a new hekdesh. So whatever the din is with regards to other korbanot, with regards to vlad, that will be the din for this animal. It's a derivative kedusha, it's not a primary form of kedusha. That's the position of Barpado, that the ubar basically is an extension of the mother, and therefore its din is like that of the mother, number one, and number two is that its impact in terms of its kedusha is only derivative of its mother's kedusha, not its own kedusha. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan believes, kedusha chala al ubarim, that kedusha, you can be makdish and ubar separately. Again, this will have a number of nafkaminot. Number one is you can be makdish and ubar without affecting the mother, independent of the mother. That means whether the mother has one kedusha, you can have the ubar have another kedusha, or from the other perspective, you can be makdish the ubar without having the mother being kadosh at all. Next is when you're makdish a chatat, and it's pregnant, this animal. When you makdish it, the animal and the baby are both mukdash. Mukdash, primary kedusha, and both of them are good for chataot. It's as if you were mafrish a chatat be'achrayut, or were mafrish two chataot for achrayut. If one of them gets lost, if one of them is not be able to be used, you can use the other one. We'll see this explicitly in Rabbi Yochanan's statement in a second. And the last thing is, like we said by Parpado, it will have a din of Vlad Chatat, or a Vlad of any other Kedusha. The guards of Rabbi Yochanan, it's not that way. It's not considered a Vlad, it's considered to be primary Kedusha, not derivative Kedusha. Yomar says, Ve'azdan Rabbi Yochanan Tameh, this is Rabbi Yochanan the Shittato, because we find that Rabbi Yochanan made another statement which agrees, or is similar to this, which is, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ikdish Chatat Mi Uberet. Person is Magdish, an animal for Chatat, and it's pregnant at the time, Ve'alda. Then it gives birth to a female, Ratzah Ba Mitkaper. If he wants, he can use the mother as his Chatat, Ratzah Bevladah Mitkaper. Or he can use the vlad as his kapara or as his chatat. Again, we said it's the equivalent of being mafrish tu chataot lachrayut. So here was mafrish tu chataot from the moment that he was makdish them. Now the Gemara says, Vitzricha, we need both statements of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan makes a statement here that you're allowed to be makdish and ubar independently. And he also makes the statement that if you are mafrish a chatat that's pregnant, they are both kadosh but independent kedusha. Because diash minan bahakamaita, if you only told me about the fact that you can be makdish and ubar independently, that's where he's affecting the fetus itself. He's directing his statement to the fetus itself. Over here, it's being makdish the mother, and only through the mother is the ubar receiving its kedusha. Ha bichlal imei lo kadosh. That maybe if it's only derivative of its mother, it does not have independent kedusha. So that's why I need the second statement to tell me that even when you're makdish it with its mother, the ubar still has independent standing and independent status. Not only when you're makdish the ubar separately, but even if you're makdish the mother, the ubar captures that kedusha, but as a primary kedusha, not as a derivative kedusha. Vishvaninan batraita, if you only told me about the case of chatat, hotum hu da aktish lo, v'chol de idba. So where is makdish the animal and everything that's in it. So therefore it works, because the mother, it's still a derivative of its mother in terms of yerech imo. And therefore when you're makdish the mother, you can also be makdish the ubar and give the ubar full-fledged kedusha. But if you wanted to then have a hocha da aktish lo, maybe here, where you're just being makdish the ubar independently, kevin delete evrai lo kodesh. But maybe since it's still in its mother's womb, you don't have the ability to separate it out and be makdish it independently. So tricha, I need both of these statements from Rabbi Yochanan to teach me both dinim. One din is that you can independently be makdish such an animal. Number two din is that if you're makdish it to the mother, it also works to leave it as an independent yushan, the ubar, separate from its mother. Then we have a lishna achrino. Lishna achrino explains my kamashmalan. What's Rabbi Yochanan teaching us? Im shayiro mishuyar. He's teaching us that you can leave something out of the mother, v'ubar lav yerechimo, and that the fetus is not an extension of the mother. Rabbi Yochanan is teaching us through his statement of chatat, that number one, you're allowed to leave the ubar out. You can be makdish the mother and say the ubar is kulin. You can be makdish the mother and say the ubar is another kedusha. That's number one. Number two, what you can extrapolate from that is that ubar is lav yerechimo. The ubar is not an extension of the mother. That's why you can deal with it independently. So if that's what we're learning out from the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, the Tarte Lomali, why do I need him to tell me that twice? He told me that once when you're makdish the ubar independently, and he told me that same statement when you're makdish a chatat, that you could separate out the two items. Why do I need Rabbi Yochanan to give me that information twice? So when I says tricha deit mar baha, if you only told me about this, mishum di imei chazi le gufei, so migo de nach to kdusha la, nach de nami le vlad. In the case why the chatat, where you are makdish the mother, and since the mother now has kedusha taguf, therefore the ubar also attains a kedusha taguf as a primary kedusha, but that's all because of the mother as well. It's derivative of the mother in the sense that you can create the kedusha through the mother, even though it attains primary kedusha. Aval idach lo. But on the other hand, if he just was makdish ubar independently by itself, then that wouldn't work. We can't leave the ubar out from the mother. You can't really separate the ubar from the mother in the sense that the mother and the ubar are going to be totally different. Maybe you can't do that. Kamash malon, that you can. Vid marbaha, if you only taught me about the case of independent kedusha where you're makdish the ubar by itself, mishum deka, mifaresh kedusha, ala vlad. You're specifying it specific about the kedusha being halal vlad. Aval, hahi, lo. But in a case where you're makdish the mother, and then through the mother, the vlad also attains a level of kedusha, maybe that won't work. Tzricho, therefore I need both statements over here to teach me. In both cases, the ubar remains an independent entity. An independent entity makes it kadosh in a primary sense, that it attains kedusha in the primary sense, as well as the fact that it's not yerechimo, it's not an extension of the mother, and the ubar can be differentiated from the mother in any way that you want. Even though when you're makdish the mother, it also affects the ubar itself. Now Tosafot points out a couple of things about Rabbi Yochanan Shita. Number one is, the reason that we know from Rabbi Yochanan that an ubar is independent is not because by the chatat you have the mother and the vlad is not azla de mita. The vlad doesn't go to be put to death, because that in itself would not be a proof to the fact that he believes that you can be makdish the ubar independently. He could have just said that the kedusha is not chal on the vlad at all. The kedusha is not chal on the vlad, and therefore you have to be makdish it again afterwards. The reason it's not classified as a vlad chatat is because the ubar is an independent item. You can't be makdish it itself inside the mother, but when it's born, you can be makdish, and it's not classified as a vlad chatat. So by the fact, or the mere fact, that it does not azla the mita, is not going to death, not classified as a vlad chatat, but that by itself would not indicate to us that you can be makdish ubarim. The reason that we learn over here that you can be makdish ubarim is because when you're mafrish the two chataot, they're on equal level, they're on par, and they're considered to be achrayut one for the other. That's the proof that you can be makdish and ubar independently. Because if you could not be makdish and ubar independently, then how could it be the achrayut? How could it be that these chatot are achrayut? You didn't separate them at the time together to be the achrayut, because the vlad only attains its kedusha either later on, or you don't have the ability to separate the vlad from the mother. So that's the proof, not the fact that it's not classified as a vlad chatan and goes to mitah, because you could have manifestations of that even though you're not able to be makdish the ubar itself. It could just be that you have no rights at all over the ubar, and only after it's born can you do anything with it. That's why it's not classified as a vlad chatat. But still, that doesn't prove to you that you can be makdish the ubar independently. Proof comes from the fact that you have two chatot here, and they're classified for achrayut. That's number one. Number two question you ask on Rabbi Yochanan is, how could you be makdish in ubar b'meimo? It's mechusar zman. We know that a korban has to be 8 days old before it's wrote with a mizbeach. And we saw machloket before whether you can be makdish it before, but according to most, you cannot be makdish the animal until it reaches the point where it's ra'ui lemizbeach. That means after 8 days. How is it possible here that you're makdish the ubar b'meimo, and it's not ra'ui lemizbeach? The answer, as Tosfot says, is it might be different. That requirement of 8 days is only after it's born. Once it's born, there's a requirement that you wait 8 days. But b'meimo, it might be possible that you can be makdish it, and it's not classified as mechusar zman, because it was yet to be born to have to wait those 8 days. So it's not classified as mechusar zman. Tosafot also asks from another place on Barpado, which says in other places we know that you can be makdish a animal for shlamim, and its child, its ubar, for an olah. And it works. The Mishnah says it works. So how's Barpado going to explain that Mishnah? So you have to say that Barpado believes that Mishnah is talking about the damim. That it means that the mother is kadosh b'tushat shlamim, but the ubar is kadosh b'tushat olah lidamim. You use its monetary proceeds to bring an olah, but it in itself will not attain kadushat aguf. Now the Gemara is going to bring a series of questions from Rabbi Yirmiyah to Rabbi Zeira. We're going to get through a couple of them today, and we'll finish off the rest tomorrow, which is Yoti. Rabbi Zeira, Kamar Lai Shemantito, he said, over this memra, this machlok between Bar Pado and Rabbi Yochanan, Eitvi Rabbi Yirmiyah, the Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Yirmiyah posed questions to Rabbi Zeira. Ketzad marimim ala b'chor. How do you make it so that a b'chor will not actually come out and be kadosh b'dushat b'chor? Hameva keret. He has a animal in his flock that is about to give birth, the firstborn. Shaitan mi'uberet. That was pregnant. Omer mashim b'me'er shalzu olah. Whatever is inside of this animal will be classified as an olah. Yalda zachar. If it gives birth to a zachar, a zu olah, it turns into an olah. Alma. So you see from this, kadosh ubar. That the ubar is kadosh. Because otherwise, how could it prevent the kedushat b'chor from happening? Kedushat b'chor happens from the time that it passes through the rechem. It's discharged by the animal. When it's discharged by the animal, that's when it attains its kedushah. Over here, you preceded that kedushah with kedushat olah. So that overrides it, because you had made it kadosh b'kedushat olah before it ever became kadosh b'kedushat b'chor. You do see from that that you're allowed to create a kedushah in an ubar. You can be makdisha kedushat aguf. That's not talking about where you're making the kadosh b'kedushat aguf, that it itself will be an olah. No, you're makdisha it so that its value can be used to buy an olah. Even there, Barpado agrees. Barpado only says that the problem is when you're trying to makdisha kedushat aguf by the ubar. So it says, "Mi alim kedushat tamim de kamafkile min bechora." Is kedushat tamim strong enough to remove the possibility of kedushat bechora being chal on this animal? I understand kedushat aguf is strong enough for that, but is kedushat tamim really strong enough for that? I'm like, yes. Vatznan, hatznan binichuto. We have a proof from the Mishnah. Po kodashim shekadam mum kavua lehekdesham. If the mum was there before you were makdishit, then binivdu, and you're podayet, meaning that you're makdishit and then you redeem that animal. After it's redeemed, chayavim bebechora ubematanot. After you've redeemed it, then it's chayav, like any other chulin animal, becomes pure chulin, that you are giving bechor and matnot kuna, everything else that is associated with a normal chulin animal. But taima d'lachar shenivdu. That's only true after you've redeemed it, that it's chayavim avakodim shenivdu. Before you redeem it, p'turim. And here we're talking about an animal that has a muminate already from the beginning, before you makdish it. So when you makdish it, you're clearly makdish it l'damim. And despite the fact that you're only makdish it l'damim, it has enough power to remove the kedushat bechora. There is no din of bechora, no din of matnot, of lechayim kebazra. That doesn't apply over here as long as it's still kadosh, until you've redeemed it. So you see here that kedushat tamim is strong enough to get rid of bechora. That's what you conclude from here, that kedushat tamim is strong enough, and that'll be the answer to that question on Barbado. Next question. That if he says that whatever's inside of this animal will be a din of an olah, meaning that the mother remains chulin, the ubar on the inside is now an ola. Muteret begizav asura be'avuda. You're allowed to shear the mother, but you're not allowed to work with the mother. You can't work with the mother. Mishum kichosh the ubar sheba. Because what ends up happening is that when you work with the mother is weakened by the work, and that impacts on the ubar inside. So even though the ubar is not on the outside, he's still impacted by the mother's work, and therefore you may not work the animal. Shearing the animal has no internal impact, and therefore you can shear it without affecting the ubar, and that's permissible. So I'm like, hainami kedushat tamim. Over there we're talking about an animal inside that is kedushat tamim, that you were makdishit for its value to be brought in mizbeach, not it itself is kedushat aguf. It says, v'chi leima kedushat tamim dasir lei avodah. Kedushat tamim is so strong that it's going to stop you or prevent you from doing avodah with the mother. Kedushat aguf, I understand. That's a misappropriation of Kodesh. You take something as Kedushat HaGuf and you use it for Avoda, or you're weakening it because of the mother's Avoda. I understand why there's a problem. Kedushat Tamim, what's the difference? Amalein. He responds, Rabbi Zeran says yes. Vatanan, again, to the Mishnah B'Nichuta, Yutzin L'Chulin L'Gazez V'Li'Aved. That after you redeem, it's a continuation of the previous Mishnah that we quoted before, that if you're Makdish something with a mum in it from the beginning, then after you redeem it, it goes out to Chulim, and you're allowed to do Giza and Avoda with it. Taima Mishum Dinifdu. That's only because it's redeemed. HaKodem Shinifdu, before it was redeemed, Asurim Avoda. You're not allowed to do Avoda with it. So if you can't do Avoda with it, this is something that's Kedushat Tamim, and yet it still says you can't do Avoda with it. Alma, from there you conclude, Kedushat Tamim Asurim Leib Avoda. Kedushat Tamim is strong enough to be Osir an animal Be Avoda. So again, you see that Kedushat Tamim has that power, and will answer for Bar Pado in both these cases, that the case of the Ubar and the ability to be Makdishat Ubar is not Kedushat Aguf, it's Kedushat Tamim. And the din will be true, both by Kedushat Aguf and Kedushat Tamim. According to Bapadu, you can't attain Kedushat Aguf and Ubar, but you can attain Kedushat Tamim. And attaining that Kedushat Tamim will be successful at creating the problems that are mentioned in each of these two cases. In the first case, you'll be successful at blocking the Kedushat Bechura from being Chal on it. And the second case, it will prevent you from doing Avoda with the mother because of the Kedushat Tamim that is found inside of her. Okay, we'll stop over here and we'll continue with the next question in tomorrow's daf, because it continues all the way into tomorrow's daf.